This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
All right, Jay Dyer is set to take over, taking final phone calls right now. Let's go to Georgia, and let's talk to David in Georgia here on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, thanks for taking my call. So, one thing I wanted to talk about was how with Elon Free and Twitter, not sure if you heard about Mark Zuckerberg in an interview, but he talked about how he has studied the Bible and different religions, and he uses God as an inspiration because God is a creator, and he used that as an inspiration to create. And I was just thinking, you know, how do you feel about him personally? Do you feel like, you know, he would be somebody?
Mark Zuckerberg?
Yes.
A total puppet, an android.
Total android? Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying literally, but if anybody's an android, it's Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, because him and Elon put together, if he ever made Meta a free speech platform, and he ever, you know, just got a relationship with God, and he ever changed as a person, I would just say, you know, the internet would just completely change. But yeah, I was just watching that interview, and I was like, wow, you know, that was just something that I found very interesting. And another thing that I wanted to bring up was between those Discord leaks. And with Robert Kennedy running and when Trump announced Agenda 47, you know, what is the elite state of mind right now? You know, like, how are they thinking? Are they thinking, you know, are they in, like, panic mode? How would you say?
They want to play God. They're not going to give up. They want total control. And so they're slaves of Satan. And we just have to oppose their agenda and build a new agenda that's based on God. We'll defeat them.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call, Dad. Good to talk to you. Jeremiah in California. You're on the air. Go ahead.
What's up, Alex? Happy.
Yes, sir.
Happy to be here. I'm wearing my AJ for President shirt right now. Going to go to the gym, pump some iron, go to work later.
Love it.
Take my vitamin mineral fusion. And I'm loving the commercial with Harrison and the food test, you know, and the flag and the music pops in that got me laughing, just crying in laughter. I love it.
Harrison Smith knocks it out of the park, doesn't he?
I got. Yeah, heck yeah. I love the ladies dancing in the U.S. flag. I was just cracking up. I first heard it, and then when I seen it, I was just laughing even harder. I love it. And I got two. Turbo Forces coming in the mail. We're putting.
Well, you're the reason we're on air. Anytime you hear us on air kicking ass, it's you, brother. And I'm not just saying like a pat on the head, like, you are the reason we're on air. Thank you.
We're putting two metaphorical foot right up George Soros behind, and it's beautiful. A sunny day, and
yeah, well, hell is lapping on George Soros' feet, so I'm not going to cry when he makes the jump into hyperspace.
I'm loving the show. Last Friday's show was just. Every show is just a flamethrower towards all this.
Everybody says last Thursday and Friday were old-fashioned Alex Jones. So I was definitely had the force was with me that day.
I'm loving it all, and I got 14 of your coins. We're just raging out here. I love it.
Brother, we couldn't do it without you. Anything else you'd like to add?
I'm going to call my representative after I get off the phone and put another foot in their butt.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, sir. All right. We got four or five projects we haven't completed, and I do intend everybody that got founder coins will be getting a lot of special stuff. We're doing some promo codes and discounts, but don't be mad at me that I'm behind schedule, folks. I'm trying as hard as I can. I went to bed at 3 a.m. last night. I got up at 5:30. I was on 8 a.m. with Tim Pool. I've done this show. I'm going to work again. I'm going to go eat dinner with my daughter, the youngest one that still lives with me. I'm an old man. All my other kids are moved out, three of them. And then I'm going to go down and do Tim Pool's show for 3 hours tonight. And I'm not bitching. I'm just saying I'm trying to eat an elephant here one bite at a time. I'm trying to drink water out of a fire hose. So I don't get everything done I say I would, but I'm trying hard. I'm fighting for you. You're fighting for me. Jay Dyer is about to take over, but I swore I'd take every call that we have on the board. So, Caden and Mike, I'm going to come back in 60 seconds, go right to you, then Jane Iyer takes over. They decided to not perp walk him, not put him in handcuffs, not do a mugshot, because they knew that that would help Trump. Didn't they know this would backfire? We were waiting for the mugshot. We learned today they wouldn't have it, so we've made our own. And it says political prisoner with an image of President Trump. The shirt is being printed now in Texas. It'll be shipping out to you in 1 week. Political prisoner with Trump on the front there in a mugshot jail background. It's a fundraiser shirt. It says Infowars.com on the back of the shirt. We also have Alex Jones for president. No, I'm not running for president. It's a really nice navy blue, high quality shirt. Red, white, and blue. Alex Jones for president. 2024. It's a fun conversational piece and a limited edition shirt. Great way to fund the operation. So get your Alex Jones for president and Trump mugshot shirts at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll free 888-253-3139. Here's a surprise.
I know you deceived me. Now here's a surprise. I know that you have, 'cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh, yeah. All right, Jane Iyer. Jay's analysis, author, researcher, great asset to human freedom, takes over here in a few minutes, but I promise to take all your calls. Caden in Canada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
It's nice. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I was just calling quickly. I don't want to waste too much of your time, but I was just calling quickly about...
You're not wasting my time calling. That's why we're here. Go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah, I was just talking about the vaccine issue here in Canada. It's pretty crazy. I'm not going to bring up any, like, U.S. politic issues, but just the vaccine issue in general, I just had an intuitive thought to just call here because I was actually at the gym a few weeks ago, and there was someone who I saw from high school, and he brought up, like, my situation when it comes to school and whatever because I got kicked out of university for not being vaccinated. And he actually brought up how he's not vaccinated, and then he brought up your show and how you actually, like, basically convinced him not to get it and how he's so thankful because his uncle now has some heart problems. So, yeah, I just kind of wanted to call to just show some appreciation and just kind of show you how big of a difference you're making, especially outside of the U.S. as well.
But I want to be clear, Caden, this isn't about patting you on the head. I want you to 100% get that through your head. I love you. Listen to me. I'm not thanking you for supporting me. There would not be a show without you. You, the listeners, spreading the word, are the reason we reach people like that man you met at the gym. So you need to understand you are just as important as I am or Jay Dyer or Tucker Carlson. So I want that to burn into your brain that when you call and thank me, I'm thanking you. But we're all in this together. So I love you and I appreciate you. What else you want to add?
Yeah, I just wanted just to add, to finalize that, just how much of an influence you've had on especially people outside of America who, like, you know how bad it is in Canada now, especially during COVID and how bad it got then. And just even you spreading the word through your podcast that you go on, like Joe Rogan and those types of podcasts, and the influence and impact they have on the people is just amazing to see. And, yeah, just the last thing I wanted to add is my girlfriend's actually a holistic nutritionist, and she's also taking other nutrition classes right now. And we went over your products, and it's actually great seeing how we can support you while benefiting ourselves and buying affordable organic products. And I got the charcoal mouthwash, and she was researching how it actually can bring out toxins like fluoride and these other heavy metals and stuff like that. So yeah, I just wanted to show my appreciation and just show out here in Canada, even in Canada outside of the U.S., you're making a huge impact and saving lives. So
you're making a huge impact. Thank you so much, Caden. Last caller before Jay Dyer takes over. Mike in Nevada, you're on the air.
Alex, first time, long time. I love you, brother.
Love you.
We got, I've been on your products now for about 5 years. I'm 51 years old, and I haven't felt this good in 15 years. We were having a little Dutch oven cookout for Easter. Had a friend of mine over from Utah, and just a couple interesting things I hadn't heard of, but she works at a Wells Fargo, works from home, and she was telling me in the last year and a half, they've been getting rid of all accounts that have anything to do with guns and ammo. And then another thing is she went through a Carl's Jr., and once she got through there, you know, it was the fake meat or whatever. They've had a little thing to show that at the end. But I just thought those two things were interesting.
Oh, yeah. The social credit score is already here. And it's churches and gun shops and just everything. That's why we have to build our new banks, build our new infrastructure. It's happening ahead of their central bank digital currencies. It is so critical.
Well, you're waking people up, brother. And the Tim Pool call earlier, I think maybe Tim wasn't as awake as he is now. And I think they do that just as a diversion to discredit everybody and keep us all confused, basically.
Oh, yeah. They put out fake people when there's a real issue to then say the whole thing's fake. And I don't have the whole backstory, but like, I mean, listen, I have guests on every day. Do not judge me by a guest. Judge me by what I say.
Exactly.
Like if I have some libtard on, like Tucker Carlson built his brand on debating libtards. Now they won't do it. Well, if Tucker has a libtard on, how is he bad?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, hey, I live in a small town in Nevada. Harry Reid, you know, it's just, it's all smoke and mirrors, man, but we all love you, and we got cows, chickens, pigs, and the whole nine yards. So thank you for everything you do, brother. I love you.
I love you, too. Thank you so much. All right. For the next 49 minutes, the great Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, great author, great researcher, takes over. Take it away, Jay, and I'll be back this Sunday, 4 p.m. Central.
Well, thank you. Glad to be hosting the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. It's a highlight of my week. I love doing it. And I want to remind you guys, too, that tonight I think Tucker will be mentioning the special that we filmed when I was in Austin with Alex and company. We also had a film crew there, and we did an entire Tucker special. So I'm not the whole thing, but I'm a significant, about the first half of it or so. So if you want to head on over to TuckerCarlson.com or to the Fox Nation streaming service. And if you sign up there, you can watch tonight's, or I guess it'll be going live pretty soon. It's called First Look, Let Them Eat Bugs. So go over there and sign up, and you can get access to that. That's going to be a blast. And I won't say who I was dressed up as, but I was dressed up as a world villain who has a bald head. You could probably figure out who I am. A lot of great segments and questions and answers and discussion in that episode. So really happy to have done that. It came out really good. So go check out that episode. Today I want to talk about the most famous dystopian novel next to 1984, which we probably read in high school. Maybe they don't assign it anymore. I don't even know if they still assign Brave New World. But I went back and I reread Brave New World. And I know Alex talked about it. I know Tucker talked about it recently. He did, I think, a show on it. And I did a whole breakdown on my channel, chapter by chapter. We did about a five-hour breakdown with my buddy, Quite Frankly TV. And we went through the entire text. And so I'm going to give you that summarized breakdown today because it's such a seminal text, not from, in my view, a whistleblower, but from somebody who was on the inside and knew what was coming, knew what was going to be the technocratic order, and wrote about it as a kind of psychological operation. His family, everybody's connected to, is part of these circles, part of this secret society, part of this network of the British imperial power structure, the Royal Society, that's running the technocracy that's now being put into place, that they're trying to push. And so when we go back to this 1932 novel, we want to look and see how he knew these things. How did he predict all these things? What were the influences on Aldous Huxley to promote this and to write this amazing piece of science fiction, dystopia? And I want to talk about how dismal it is and how I think, again, this is really intended to, kind of like 1984, it kind of leaves you with not much hope. And in 1984, as we said, Orwell was writing about the Fabian socialists, right? Ingsoc is English socialism. And there the theory was, or the threat was, Stalinism. Maybe we would get this heavy-handed dictatorship that would, you know, throw you into a gulag and this kind of stuff, which could happen, who knows. But what seems to be the case that the model that the elite have gone for is instead not this heavy-handed approach, but a drug-induced technocracy, a technocracy based around what Aldous Huxley calls utilitarian happiness principle. He says that if you think about it, the world in Brave New World, the life that's projected, and it's projected to be the year 2500, but it's not actually 2500 in terms of what it's really talking about. What it's talking about is now. It's talking about the world that we are going into now, 2023, right? Great Reset, all of that. That's the world that it's describing. And he says that you have to understand some of the philosophical predecessors in the introduction that he wrote. There's a famous introduction. It's not in every installment. It's in my version of it. And he explains that this is not fiction. It's real. So we want to look at the philosophical influences. We want to look at the background. We want to look at how he got to this plan. And then we will dissect the novel in summation. Don't go anywhere. This is the Alex Jones from your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine what could relief from IBS-C mean for you. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and 6 kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamil, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis. We are breaking down in detail the insane text of Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. And we're doing that because in 1932, he wrote a fiction story that predicted everything that we're going into and where we're going in an even more dismal future if we don't stop this, if we don't wake up to what's going on. And we're talking about the philosophical influences for this dystopian society. And he says that, you know, one thing that 1984 didn't get right in his thesis is that it's too heavy-handed, it's too tyrannical, and it's not as effective to control human beings by this top-down model. A better model of control would be to offer the promise of liberty and freedom through pleasure and happiness. Like, so control people through their base desires and through pleasures. And that's a much easier way, a much more effective scientific means of control through the promise of freedom and liberation, he says. And he says that technology and science will give us this, and it's based on the notion of utilitarian happiness principle. Now, what is that? Well, if you go back to the Enlightenment philosophers, out of the Enlightenment, we get a lot of philosophies that challenge the ancient and medieval notions of things like a virtue ethic from Aristotle or from the Bible. And we get Immanuel Kant, and we get Adam Smith and David Ricardo and all these different figures that really want to change a lot of society. Some of their critiques are good. Some of their critiques are valid of the corruption of the medieval papacy and these kinds of things. But that doesn't mean that all of their answers were necessarily the best answers or that they would take us necessarily in the right direction. And one of those theories as a replacement for virtue ethics was the idea of utilitarian ethics. And this is just simply put, the idea that our ethics should just be based on maximizing the happiness for the greatest number of people. And many of the people who follow this ethic were libertarians, and not knocking all the libertarians. There's a lot of good insights from libertarians. However, there's a problem with this Jeremy Bentham idea of a utilitarian happiness principle as an ethic. How do you quantify happiness? And later, utilitarians actually thought you could quantify happiness. They came up with an idea of moral calculus, the idea that you could calculate happiness points and dole them out and thus make society moral and ethical by making them happy. And Huxley says in the introduction to Brave New World that that's exactly the ethic that was chosen by the technocrats. Now, you say, what does this have to do, though, with Silicon Valley and all that? Because you know, this is decades before the rise of Silicon Valley. This is 1930s. Well, turns out that people like Sam Bankman-Fried were actually part of a group of Silicon Valley technocrats who believe in a quasi-cult version of utilitarianism. They were literally part of a utilitarian NGO that they had dreamt up, right? And it, obviously we know that was a bunch of scammery, but it's illustrative of the scammery at work in what Huxley calls the final revolution. Why does he call it the final revolution? Well, he calls it that because he says that this Brave New World scenario is the culmination of the last several centuries of revolutionary thought and philosophy. He includes the Protestant Reformation. He includes the science revolution. He includes the Enlightenment. Then the French Revolution, then all the revolutions of the 17 and 1800s, all the way up to the present revolution of the fourth industrial revolution or technocracy. Right. So the same thing Klaus writes about in his 2018 book, Fourth Industrial Revolution, is the same thing that's being talked about in this book almost 100 years ago. And he says that what we had to do was exchange beauty and aesthetics and freedom for control and social stability. So that's why there is always the promise of security when you trade over your liberties. Now, it's a false trade-off. You don't actually come out better because you never actually get the security that they promise, because actually the security here is the security of the biomedical security state, which is predicted in this book a long time ago.
And so you become a slave to base passions, to your desires, to the technocracy, which is controlling you through not just all the means that we know about, like 1984's big government, but controlling you through happiness points. What do you mean happiness points? Well, ultimately, through the pleasures. We'll provide you a universal basic income. We'll provide you infinite entertainment, gaming, coom pods, coffin apartments. This will be the control mechanism of the future, he says. And he says that the important element that 1984 left out was control by pleasure. He says 1984 is like it's like an ascetic,
right?
Not aesthetic, ascetic, like asceticism, the ascetics. It's like there's a control mechanism where you get very little rations. You get very little victory gin, very few victory cigarettes. You get a ration of chocolate each week. He says that that's the wrong idea, right? They suppress sexuality in 1984. They have the League of the Chastity League or something like this, where you report on people for touching butts or something. Who knows, right? No, he says that it's the other way around. The totalitarian state maximizes sexual degeneracy and sexual pleasure to control the population. And what have we seen in the last several years since the 1960s countercultural revolution up to today with the so-called trans revolution? What is all of that? That is womb-to-tomb conditioning and control. Ultimately, Huxley says at the end of his introduction, this is the rebranding of eugenics and control. He says that this will bring order out of chaos eventually, and we will have a perfectly controlled world where there is no freedom, there is no aesthetics, there is no beauty. You won't be reading the Bible and you won't read Shakespeare because you won't have family or tradition or history that you even know about. Now, I made this point a while back because Bertrand Russell says something very similar in Impact of Science on Society, which is very close to what's in this novel. And he talks about how in the future, you'll be reading Shakespeare. What are you talking about? You're not going to be reading these books you see around me. You're not going to have that. Those are going to be banned. Fahrenheit 451. That novel's making the same point. Why? Because beauty and arts and the arts, the aesthetics, philosophy, religion, theology, all these things that are part of what we call the classical arts, they require freedom and creativity. They require notions of beauty and standards that are objective. And Huxley says this. He says that we had to get rid of the notion of telos or purpose in the world before we could bring about a super technocratic state that gives man purpose. So there's no longer God that gives purpose. There's no longer God that limits the role of the state. It is the all-powerful technocratic state, which then dictates all laws and morals and conventions, and can change them arbitrarily at will, that then makes man controlled and happy. And it is literally like a human zoo. It is a human farm. But, as we said, to distinguish it from the top-down control of what we see in 1984 or Animal Farm or something like this, this is a pleasure-based utopia that entices you through meeting all of your bodily needs and your imagination needs through endless entertainment and gaming and the Matrix, ultimately. And he says that that will be the ultimate perfect control system. So that's just the introduction. Now, I did a breakdown on my channel the other day. You'll notice it. It's the newest video that's up there. It's got about 19,000-20,000 views, where we went through his Berkeley speech. So 30 years later, Huxley gives a 1962 Berkeley speech where he explains how all of this is now coming to pass, and it was a plan, and it's not merely fiction. So go watch that. This is...
Ladies and gentlemen, this book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, is a historic book that documents the globalists, in their own words, plan for our future. That is a hellish future. Now, you'll be always, while they still allow books, I guess, they're starting to ban them, be able to get an unsigned copy of The Great Reset and the War for the World at bookstores, Amazon, or InfoWarsStore.com. But you will never be able to get another signed copy of the book after the signed copies we got run out. And there's about 1,000 left of them right now. So get your copy of The Great Reset and the War for the World a signed copy at InfoWarsStore.com. And there is a markup there because this is a fundraiser to keep us on the air. So you won't just have this historic memento and this powerful book. You'll also know that you help keep InfoWars on the air. I want to thank those of you that have gotten signed copies of the book or unsigned copies. But I want to encourage all of you who haven't yet to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get a signed copy and buy a couple of unsigned copies and donate them to the library or give them to the local school. This is an InfoWar. I'm counting on you, and thank you for your support.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. As we work our way through the novel, we begin with the setting of London in the year, I think, 2500-ish. And what's first noticeable about the world state, and it's called the world state, is that it has 10 regions. So we get basically the continental unions, the plan for kind of a world order of federated continents that are integrated into an overall globalist strategy of control. This is the present government, and he says that the first chapter begins at the London hatchery of the world state. So London plays a key role here in the future world state, and it always has, because this is, as we know, the future world order of a Fabian socialist technocracy based on the secret plan of the British elites like Cecil Rhodes and others that he wrote about. There's a last will and testament of Cecil Rhodes where he said, we'll create this Fabian socialist world state, and that will be our long-term plan. Now, what's this hatchery? This is where humans come from. Humans are created in hatcheries, in pods.
test tube babies. You don't have children anymore. And the reason that you don't have children, the book explains, is because they had to do that to remove your connection to mother and father. So to destroy the family requires the government hatcheries, the superstate hatcheries. And that's where we are now. They're wanting to roll out this now, the idea that humans should be hatched and they should be genetically modified and created out of lab-grown scientific needs. So this society populates its society on the basis of scientific rational need. In other words, we need more 24 more gub-gub snail men who are basically midget goblin people to go and clean up the vomit and to clean up the poop in the poop factory. Literally, I'm not joking. Like, they actually engineer alphas, betas, gammas, deltas, and epsilons. And epsilons are like the little slug people who are created to go mop up poop. The alphas are the alphas. Now, the funny part about this right away is that it's a rigid hierarchy where everybody wears color-coded clothing to signify their caste. It's a scientific caste system. But hey, wait a minute. I thought liberty, equality, and fraternity. I thought since the French Revolution, we were told that the revolutions were leading us to the world of perfect egalitarianism, perfect equalitarianism. But wait a minute. No, it's not that at all. Turns out it was all a lie. It was a ruse. The revolutions were for the purpose of bringing in the final revolution, which is a brave new world. And the final revolution, within three pages, five pages, is a rigid hierarchy. Gammas, deltas, epsilons. He says millions of them created, mass-produced humans. So wait a minute, is this a communist future? Or is it a capitalist future? Because the notion of mass production is a monopoly capitalist idea. But the notion of a complete collectivist society is a communist socialist idea. So which one is it? I can't figure it out in my basic black-white dialectics. Which one is it? It's both, because it was always intended to synthesize both. And these people actually say that. H.G. Wells says when he writes in, it's either Open Conspiracy or New World Order, he says that all the Marxist socialists, you shouldn't be railing against monopoly capitalism. It's not your enemy. It's your funder and your friend, because it is the monopoly capitalists that will build the global infrastructure that will give way to the socialists, to this. And how do I know that Huxley knew that and was party to that? Because in the novel, everybody in the future is named after both Marxists and capitalists. In fact, the pseudo-religion, the civic religion that is made up, a la Auguste Comte, is Fordianism, the year of our Ford. And instead of a cross, they have a tau, the T, for Ford, for the Model T Ford. Because the Model T Ford was the beginning of Industrial Revolution in the sense of completely changing society through machinery, through mass production. And mass production makes everything a commodity, so that then humans become a commodity and become mass produced. Well, that sounds like Marx. That's because it's both. That's because it's the third way synthesis that so many of the global elite writers that we've lectured through talk about. Brzezinski, Quigley, on and on and on. Fabian socialists all talked about the third way, synthesizing monopoly capitalism from the West with various forms of socialism, Marxism, communism from the East, Eastern Bloc, Soviets, etc. Frankfurt School, doesn't matter. Ultimately, the end goal is the same. And this is precisely why nothing changes in the left-right dialectic. Because the explanation of what is really running things in Brave New World tells you that the left-right is a fake dialectic. Going back to the French Revolution, going back to when in the French Revolutionary government, they had a provisional government that they set up in the tennis court, well, the tennis court government, and on the left side of the tennis court were the left-wing revolutionaries known as the Jacobins. On the right wing of the tennis court are the right-wing revolutionaries known as the Girondins. They're both revolutionaries. but they're disagreeing over whether it should be a total communist, Jacobin, Illuminist style collectivism or a mercantile dominated capitalist revolution. Both are revolutionaries. And Huxley is saying that the future is the culmination of all revolutions, not just that one, but scientific revolution. He says this in the introduction. Protestant revolution, scientific revolution, French revolution. Then we get the ultimate future synthesis of the brave new world superstate, run by 10 world socialist controllers, one of whom is named Mustafa Mond, who is the chief antagonist of the novel. And they, quote, socially predestined people on the basis of eugenics and genetically modified humans, Frankenhumans. And that's because he says that when they walk into the hatcheries, there's just racks and racks and racks of humans. They have a motto, community, identity, stability. All reproduction is completely and 100% controlled by the state. This rigid caste system, which, by the way, Britain had India as a colony, and I've always theorized the British elite adopted this caste system out of their Indian colony. That's my theory. And he says that one of the things that the scientific and technocratic elite learned that controlled the society is that the whole society is actually kept at an unarrested development level. So even though there's alphas who are very intelligent and very, muscular and fit and have a lot of sexual partners and all this, they don't have sex to reproduce, right? Sex has been completely divorced from reproduction, reproduction completely divorced from sexuality, and that was the goal for population control. Population control is not just get the numbers down, like Bill Gates says. It's controlling every area of life of the population. Total control. And he even talks about weird inverted relations, you might say, that all exist in the Brave New World scenario because by the end of the second chapter, when we learn about the antagonist villain character Mustafa Mond, maybe it's the end of the third chapter. Yeah, there's this weird section that I never noticed where he's compared to Christ. Because this is the chapter where pedophilia has been normalized, right? They call it child play, I think, something like that. Erotic child play. And when this has been normalized, there are children who come to see the world socialist controller, Mustafa Mond, when he shows up at one of the hatcheries one day. And they try to say, no, get away. You don't need to talk to him. And as an inverted antichrist type of symbol in the novel, Huxley has the Mustafa Mond character say, let the little children come unto me. So an amazing, just total inversion of Christianity. He's a Christ-like figure, but he's an antichrist figure because he's a pedo. But it's been normalized in this technocratic society, as well as the continuance of youth, right? You maintain your youth, but then you go to a oven when it's time to get euthanized. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com. And partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at GCNlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Today, I'll show you. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis. We were talking about the structure and the makeup, the strategies of the future technocracy in the fiction novel Brave New World, which is not a fiction novel, which is an actual real plan that is rolling out right now that we're all living through. In chapter two, it talks about the ideology that's used for the conditioning of all of the residents, all of the clone hatched people. And it's called the Neo-Pavlovian Conditioning Center, right? So operant conditioning, Pavlovian conditioning, Skinner, Watson, Pavlov, that all goes into the model of how the humans are molded, crafted, and created by the superstate through operant conditioning. In fact, there's multiple references to what was soon to be MKUltra. In fact, there's the electroshocking of the infants. There is the drugging of the infants and the society on a mass scale. They literally electroshock infants to operant condition them to fit into and be socially conditioned to this system and to the society. I want to mention that, of course, Huxley was famous for the Doors of Perception and an early promotion of LSD. And in fact, Huxley was introduced to drugs, according to Dr. Richard Spence, by none other than the famous British spy and Satanist Aleister Crowley. So there's a direct connection between Crowley and his drug diaries, as Dr. Spence notes, I think on pages 20, 16, 17, 18 in his book, and the type of society of
the aeon of the child, which Crowley wrote about, the crown and conquering child, the future aeon, he says, when Christianity goes away, will be one of arrested development where infantilism reigns. And that's exactly what is the society here. Control the society by keeping them in a childish arrested development state. Thus, they are completely beings of instinct, completely controlled by their pleasures and by the superstate. The superstate also utilizes sleep control, sleep mind control, called hypnopedia, where when you sleep, you're always listening to these weird mantras and these chants that control you. Now, we didn't necessarily go into that kind of a society today. Maybe in the future they will. I don't know. But the notion of mind controlling people through hypnosis in sleep states and whatnot, that is part of MKUltra. So, again, we see a connection between Huxley and MKUltra. And Huxley would write a lot of books and do a lot of research and promoting of things like LSD. That would definitely have tremendous influence on both the Tavistock Institute and the MKUltra programs in the United States. So remember that everybody's named after all of these Marxist and revolutionary figures. Characters are named after Trotsky. There's one of the chief female figures in the novel is Lenina, the feminine of Lenin. Lenina. Lenina is a vaccine worker. She works to inoculate everybody. No surprise there. Where have we heard of this? The, again, union of the different characters, there's one of the main characters, Bernard Marx, right? Lenina. We have references to George Bernard Shaw, the famous Fabian socialist, which, again, tells us who the novel is really pulling from. It's pulling from all of these revolutionary figures. There's another important aspect, too, which is that everyone belongs to everyone else, which is interesting because, you know, you can't say no to anybody. Or who are you? How dare you turn me down, bigot? You must have sex with everybody, and you are in trouble in this society if you say no to anyone, because that means that you're being selfish and you're not being completely collectivist. There's no notion of freedom. There's no notion of individual creativity, because this whole society is engineered and restructured around you being given everything that you want and need, mainly your base pleasures, to control you. And we learn that everything is controlled through chemical concoctions. So MKUltra, we realized through the real brains behind MKUltra, wasn't mainly about creating some mind-controlled super assassin. Thought about making, you know, Mila Jovovich or Scarlett Johansson, you know, go in and assassinate some world leader or something. No, it's actually about studying things that then apply to the society as a whole. So you study individual cases and then apply that to the macrocosm. And he even says that the water supplies are tainted. He says we learned this from the Soviet techniques of tainting the water supply, and this was particularly ingenious. He says that in the past, this is the year 2500, he says that there was a past world economic collapse, and that led to the introduction of the world controllers. So the technocrats stepped forward after a world economic collapse, and he says that we figured out that rather than controlling people through top-down control, the society is run through brains and buttocks, brains and butts. That's what he says, page 49. What does that mean? That means scientific technocracy rules you through controlling you through your base desires, brains and butts. The society is actually based around constant and continual consumption. You do not have time by design to think and reflect, because if you sat and thought and reflected, you might actually figure out what's going on, he says. This is throughout the novel, various technocrats, they actually explain why and how the society is constructed. And he says that, you don't read anymore. There's no books. Books are all banned. Why do you need books? Why do you need to think? When you start to feel bad or depressed or you start to feel down, there is a drug that you take called Soma, which is apparently, it seems to be a mix of like mescaline or some sort of narcotic and some sort of upper. So it's sort of like all three at one, and Huxley's later said that it's not a real drug, but it's kind of a fantastical concoction that he said might one day actually exist. But he said that regardless, that to me it would be the best control mechanism, because in this future you don't need to do any kind of reflecting. And if you're ever tempted to sit back and reflect or to think about or to analyze the society, you take Soma. You take the drug that gives you a holiday, right? The holiday is the drug trip. But it's not a classic LSD trip. It's a much more of a pleasurable kind of, escapism. And he says that we figured that out because that's the best way to control everybody. And so we combine that with a fake world religion. So the future dystopia here actually literally has a fake world religion. And the world religion, I kid you not, is also a form of sex magic. So you go basically to a rave where the music is all synthetic. I'm not knocking techno. I like electronic music. I'm just saying that in the novel, he predicted that all the future music would be synthetic computer-made music. Literally. 1932. Well, obviously you have to have that because you can't have individual creative artists making up compositions and making up music, because that would be undermining the very principle that we said of the complete control of the society. You can't have free will and creativity. And of course, the arts suggest and are based around human free will and creativity. So all of the movies are basically Michael Bay porn movies, right? It's all explosions and porn. It's literally, it's like all explosions and porn. And that is also part of the method to control you. But I was really blown away again reading through this time, because I'd read this, we had it in high school, and then I read it, I think, in 2015. And reading it again, there's so much more that I caught that I didn't catch the previous times through, particularly all the references to MKUltra, all the references to Malthusianism. They actually have a ritual mantra that they repeat called the Malthusian Drill. And the liturgy that you go to, the worship service, is a new world religion that was created by the technocrats that is a rave dance service, literally. And you have an orgy called the Orgy Porgy. And the sacrament that you take is the Soma drug. And when you take the Soma, you read you chant out these phrases and these words to become one with everyone else because you're having an orgy. Okay. And the odd part is that it does acknowledge a deity, but it's a deity according to characters who are named after Marxists. They talk about these made-up figures in the novel, named after Engels, named after Bakunin, and named after other figures there's a reference to the 12 apostles. And the 12 apostles ritual is where you go in this orgy and you chant out to the greater being. So they believe in a supreme being, but it's always undefined. It's very generic, which is also kind of an idea of a Masonic deity, right? The supreme being. And then the sacrament that you take is a hallucinogen in the middle of the orgy porgy ritual. Orgy porgy, Ford and fun. So instead of our Lord, it's our Ford. Kiss the girls and make them one. Boys at one with girls at peace. Orgy porgy gives release. Orgy porgy, he says, is the liturgical refrain. Liturgy. So there you know. Exactly what I said. And exactly the world that we're going into is planned by these people. And it's in all the books. But people don't read anymore. That's why we don't know what's going on. We just don't know because we are kept ignorant. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.